this one is much smaller, and really the breadth of it is much smaller, and that's what makes it the most interesting. It focuses on the 20 biggest problems. Many of the recommendations or mandates before really focused on one or two areas. We saw something, you know, OMB memo on, for instance, the federal desktop clerk configuration. We saw an OMB memo on DNS security, domain name server security. Mm-hmm. Or NIST puts out their security audit guide, which focuses on all security controls. And you can go crazy trying to figure out, well, which one's most important? This one says, what are we seeing based on the analysis? What are the problems? What are we seeing the most holes in more than not systems, you know, more systems than not have these problems. Here's 20 of them that can be fixed.
Oh, they connect the dots then.
They connected the dots based on their work with several agencies.
So what does the guide actually recommend? Does it tell them to sort of prioritize these things? What's it tell them?
Well, it says these 20 are John Gilligan, who's a former CIO at Air Force and Energy Department, used the analogy this way. You have a patient, and the patient is the federal government networks, and the networks are bleeding. They have tons of holes. You have to do a triage to figure out which ones are basically gushing the most blood.
Right.
Not to be too graphic here.
That's okay.
But so these 20 are the biggest holes that they can be filled, and they can be filled immediately. And 15 of the 20 can be done automatically, meaning you don't need to go in there and flip switches. You can have a piece of software or what they call SCAP, which is the Secure Content Automation Protocol, and use those protocols to fix these holes. So some of them are ones that, you know, they're not all that surprising. Stuff like software whitelists. This software is allowed on this network. Mm-hmm. Anything not on the whitelist is not allowed on the software. Secure configurations for desktops, for firewalls, for routers, for switches. All these things that we've heard about. They've also talked about like malware defenses and how to deal with that. The goal here is not just to prevent attacks, but because it's nearly impossible to do that. The goal is to prevent attacks. Once the attack is in, stop it from doing more harm and get rid of it. So it's actually a multi-layered idea here to protect you.
So a second line of defense, in other words.
Well, second line of defense, but not just. A lot of times things are focused on preventing. How do we keep you out? Well, the best way to keep you out is to unplug it.
That'd be your first line of defense.
That would be it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, hackers are going to get in, and you know, if you focus on prevention, as one guy said, you're going to lose. They're going to own you.
Well, and that's always the important thing to remember here. You can have a safe system. It's just not connected to anything. And so, you know, you're always looking for that balance. How do we share the kind of information that we want to share and yet still do it in a secure framework? So who developed this thing?
Well, that's what's most interesting about this, because a lot of times NIST is the one that develops these types of guidelines. I mean, they're mandated by law, but this one's developed by public and private sector. You had DOD, National Security Agency, Homeland Security, Energy, or some of the federal agencies that took part. Other private sector entities include the SANS Institute, the Center for Strategic and International Studies. I mentioned John Gilligan and even Ed Skotus, who's a security author and security expert. Mm-hmm. And he actually trains what they call the red and the blue teams, which are the people who attack, the people who defend. So this guy knows the stuff. He knows what the problems are. So, and I think this is what makes it different, is that we have this agreement from all these organizations that said, yes, these are the 20 we need to deal with. And they've only been working on this for about 4.5 months. So this is not something that's been going on for years and years and try to get agreement. So I think we're at a good place here of where what needs to be done.
And you said a bunch of them were sort of low-hanging fruit. They were almost easy to do, easy to take to fix quickly.
Exactly. And that's what they're saying to agencies, that you can get on this right away. Even though this is only a draft guidelines, they're still, you know, the response that they've gotten so far has been very positive. No one said, well, you forgot this one or you forgot that one. There may be some tweaks about what security controls are and how to really measure them, but agencies can go out and get the draft now and start implementing.
Yeah, but if NIST puts out draft guidelines, then agencies are going to do it. But these guys don't have any authority over the agencies.
And that's the same question I asked them. I said, well, NIST is the key here. What are you doing about that? And their response basically was, listen, they're taking a three-pronged approach to make this basically mandatory. The first one is working with NIST. And in fact, NIST has been a reviewer, a commenter on these guidelines, and they're actually waiting for some comments to come back from this latest round, and then they may start considering, okay, do we need to include this in one of our special publications, or FIPS, as they call it, Federal Information Processing Standard, which makes it mandatory, or how do we change ours to include the guidelines to be more dynamic? Because the complaint is, NIST puts out guidelines as required by law, and they're very static. This is what it says. This is what you do, but there's no way to really get to the grasp it, get to the meat of it. And additionally, the inspector generals and the audit community have complained that, well, how do I know these measurements are really good measurements? So that's what this new consensus audit guideline does, is also address there. The other two ways is they're working with the CIO Council, the Security and Identity Management Committee. They've had meetings with them. They're working with the CIO Council to come up with pilot agencies to test these guidelines out. The State Department has already started testing. They're the first one. They're hoping to get a few more. And then the third way is Senator Carper introduced FSMA 2 legislation last session. He will reintroduce it, I'm being told, later this year, sometime in the spring. And two major provisions in FSMA 2 are directed at those two major provisions, saying figure out what the top security holes are and fix them, and have something that's more dynamic and not so static.
And CIOs are pretty focused on this issue right now. I mean, Karen Evans was focused on it a lot. This is not something that's at the back of mind. This is pretty upfront.
And in fact, that's what Jim Lewis from CSIS said, the same thing. He said, this is the year we're going to get a lot more done than ever before on cybersecurity. Now, I kind of feel like that maybe was a little unfair, only because I think you've seen a lot going on over the last few years. I mean, but at the same time, I think what Jim was expressing was more about his excitement, his really optimism to really make some really significant changes in progress.
And one of the challenges that they've always had is this is easy to, because security is just a perpetual problem, it's easy to say, okay, well, yeah, it's a problem now, it's going to be a problem, and sort of put it off in the back. But I think people today understand the ramifications if you don't pay attention to lists of 20 things. If you don't pay attention to those things now, then it can put you in a really, really uncomfortable place.
And we see it time and again with, DOD is losing information, so-and-so gets hacked, FAA has cybersecurity flaws. I mean, it's just the stories aren't going to stop, they're not going to end, and even when they do these 20 things, things will get better, but you still will have problems. So this is not, the panacea to all cybersecurity.
And we'll have a list, we'll have a link to full list, so people can read the whole thing for themselves.
Right, on federalnewsradio.com, and I'll have my piece on for tomorrow morning with the Federal Drive with Tom and Jane.